These are bare wires of my life since it was cut.
And this is WMFO in Medford. Our post-initial radio obituary is for Tony Cucchiara. Born in Agrigento, Sicily, Cucchiara debuted in the late 1950s, mainly recording cover versions of American hits before starting his career as singer-songwriter in 1962. His first hit was his song Annalisa, named after Cucchiara's daughter. Get his name right, Cucchiara. This song was used as closing themes for the RAI variety show Alta Persona. In the following years, he embraced folk music, first recording some classic pieces in the Sicilian tradition and then creating a musical duo with his wife Nelly Fiormonte called Tony e Nelly, entirely devoted to the folk repertoire. While still mostly engaged in pop music in 1971, Cucciera got his best commercial hit with the song Vola Cura Mio, which peaked at number 11 on the Italian singles chart. In 1970, Cucciera debuted as a playwright with a musical entitled Cassandra 2000. In 1972, he reached a large national and international audience and critical success with a musical comedy titled Cieno e Abel, Cain and Abel. In later years, Cucciera focused his activity on stage. He also worked as a television writer, and he is our post-initial radio obituary. And as he did launch his career doing folk music, here he is with his wife covering a folk song.
La prigione mi tiene qua per tanti giorni ancora lontano da te.
Io sono certa che l'innocenza trionferà,
ma sto pagando per chi non so.
Più forte mi lasci solo e te ne vai.
Our next radio obituary is for Lorraine Gordon. Born Lorraine Stein in 1922, she was an American jazz music advocate, the owner of the Village Vanguard Jazz Club in Greenwich Village, New York City, and the author of a memoir on jazz music. Gordon grew up in Newark, New Jersey. As a teenager, she was an adored fan of jazz music. In 1942, she married Alfred Lyon, co-founder of Blue Note Records. In the 1940s, Gordon and Lyon recorded the works of jazz artists such as clarinetist Sidney Bechet and, I guess that'd be Sidney Bechet, and pianist Thelonious Monk. In 1949, she married Max Gordon, owner of the Village Vanguard Club in New York. Established in 1935, the club gained a reputation among jazz musicians in the late 50s and became a fashionable place to record live performances. In the 1960s, as a member of the peace activist group Women Strike for Peace, Gordon rallied against nuclear weapons testing and the Vietnam War. In the 1980s, she worked at the Brooklyn Museum. After Max Gordon's death in 1989, she assumed ownership and management of the Vanguard Club. She continued the club's dedication to jazz music and maintained its reputation as a premier jazz club. In 2013, Gordon's contribution to jazz music was recognized by the U.S. National Endowment for the Arts as she received the NEA Jazz Master's Award for Jazz Advocacy. She actively engaged in the management of Vanguard Club until late 2012. She died on June 9th at age 95, and she is our next radio obituary. And I want to add a personal note that I am not Belinda, but I am an older guy, and I do have a few years on Belinda, so she and I be me. But in my late teens, as I got turned on to jazz, I saw the likes of Thelonious Monk and Charles Mingus at the Village Vanguard in the twilight of their careers. Memorable moments for a budding young mind. Rest in peace, Lorraine Gordon. And she is our next radio obituary here at WMFO. Monk, live at the Village Vanguard, and some nice pictures of the Vanguard that you guys post up there on the Facebook chat group page. Thank you for sharing that. Our cleanup radio obituary is for Jalaluddin Mansur Nuruddin. Born July 24th, 1944, he was an American poet and musician and one of the founding members of The Last Poets, a group of poets and musicians that evolved in the 1960s out of the Harlem Writers' Workshop in New York City. He was born in Fort Greene, Brooklyn, New York. Earlier in his career, he used the names Lightning Rod and Alfia Puddin. He is sometimes called the grandfather of rap. As one of the main ingredients of this thing called hip-hop, there isn't an artist from the past 30 years who wouldn't say they were influenced by Nuruddin, with works sampled by or quoted by N.W.A., A Tribe Called Quest, Public Enemy, and more. Nuruddin represented the old school guys from the corner and served as the Rock of Gibraltar for the next generation. He died on June 4th, and he's our cleanup radio obituary here on Bubbles in the Think Tank.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, some of us will probably catch it on TV with chicken hanging from our mouths. You'll know it's revolution because there won't be no commercial. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
Preacher pimps are gonna split the scene with the communion wine stuck in their back pockets. Faggots won't be so funny then, and all the junkies will quit their nod and wake up when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, transit cops will be crushed by the trains after losing their guns, and blood will run through the streets of Harlem, drowning anything without substance. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
I hope pearly white teeth fall out the mouths that speak of revolution without reference. The course of revolution is 360 degrees. Understand the cycle that never ends. Understand the beginning to be the end. And nothing is in between but space and time that I make or you make to relate or not to relate to the world outside my mind, your mind. Speak not of revolution until you are willing to eat rats to survive. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution
comes. When the revolution comes, guns and rifles will be taking the place of poems and essays. Black cultural centers will be forts supplying the revolutionaries with food and arms when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, white death will fall the walls of museums and churches, breaking the lie that enslaved our mothers. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Jesus Christ is gonna be standing on the corner of Lenox Avenue and 125th Street, trying to catch the first gypsy cab out of Harlem. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Drew Merchant will give away matzo balls and gefilte fish to anyone they see with an afro. Frank Schiffman will give away the Apollo to the first person he sees wearing a blue dashiki. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
Afros gonna be trying to straighten their heads, and straighten heads gonna be trying to wear afros. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes. But until then, you know and I know niggas will party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party. Some might even die before the revolution comes.
Guess what? It's the Weasel of Radio Obituary. And it's for Indian singer Arundhati. Arundhati? D-A-T-E. It's Arundhati, but I think it's pronounced Date. That is Indian, as in from India. Arundhati, a well-known Marathi singer, passed away on May 6th, so he's overdue for a radio obituary. Originally a textile engineer, Arun left his high-profile job after 28 years of service for pursuing a career in singing. His song, Shakaratara, was adjudicated as Song of the Month on Mumbai radio station in 1962. The singer was famous for his songs like Shatara Pran Karav and Shapat Tula Akh, to name but a couple, and was known for his soulful voice. He died at the age of 84 and was unwell for quite a few days. He breathed his last breath at his residence in Kanjurmarg, Mumbai, and he was living with his son Atul Date. He started vocals near Indore with Kumar Gandhava and further on continued his music education with Mahavir in 1955. And he started singing with All India Radio and after that never looked back. His first soundtrack was published in 1962. He passed away on May 6th, just 2 days after his 84th birthday, and he is our Weasel Radio Obituary here on Bubbles in the Think Tank. Now, Belinda had a short piece in Dropbox for me to play in his honor, but I am not Belinda, so I'm going to go with one of the aforementioned hits. A catchy tune, if you can relate to Indian culture, here on Bubbles in the Think Tank.
घेतल्या वचनांची शपथ तुला आहे दिल्या घेतल्या वचनांची शपथ तुला आहे मनातल्या मोर पिसाची शपथ तुला आहे दिल्या घेतल्या वचनांची शपथ तुला आहे कुळीच्या झाडाखाली निळ्या चांदण्यात बकुळीच्या झाडाखाली निळ्या चांदण्यात हृदयाची ओळख पटली सुगंधी क्षणात त्या सगळ्या बकुळ फुलांची त्या सगळ्या बकुळ फुलांची शपथ तुला आहे मनातल्या मोर पिसाची शपथ तुला आहे दिल्या घेतल्या वचनांची शपथ तुला आहे रचिला चांद तू जुईचा मनाली सचंद्रोत्सव हा सावळ्या भुईचा शुभ्र फुले रेखित रचिला चांद तू जुईचा मनाली सचंद्रोत्सव हा सावळ्या भुईचा फुलातल्या त्या चंद्राची फुलातल्या त्या चंद्राची शपथ तुला आहे मनातल्या मोर पिसाची शपथ तुला आहे दिल्या घेतल्या वचनांची शपथ तुला आहे मोर पिसाची शपथ तुला आहे दिल्या घेतल्या वचनांची शपथ तुला आहे शपथ तुला आहे शपथ तुला आहे.
Our pre-ante-penultimate radio obituary is for Danny Kirwan, guitarist and singer-songwriter with early Fleetwood Mac from 1968 to 1972. He passed away at age 68 on June 8th, cause of death not yet disclosed. In the 70s, he suffered from increasing alcoholism, mental illness, and a reportedly volatile personality, and was let go from the band in 1972. One of a handful of talented early members, including founder Peter Green, who left the band due to personal problems or other issues and didn't make it into their most successful superstar lineup in 1975. After unsuccessful attempts at a solo career in the late 70s, Kirwan was known to have been homeless or living in group homes for alcoholics in the 80s and 90s, and little has been mentioned of him since then. Kirwan wrote the title track of Fleetwood Mac's 1972 album Bare Trees, his last album with them, on which he wrote five songs, including the instrumental gem Sunny Side of Heaven. Danny Kirwan, our pre-ante-penultimate radio obituary, here on Bubbles in the Think Tank. The penultimate radio obituary is for Jerry Maron, the last surviving member of the group of actors who portrayed the Munchkins from The Wizard of Oz. He was 98. Now, you know, Chris filled in last week and did this obituary and followed it with the song Ding Dong, The Wicked Witch is Dead. Good tune. Diane and I put that song on our answering machine back in the 80s when Nixon died. But I digress. Who has answering machines anymore? I did find a couple of more amusing pieces to share around his death, and this is not the first time a person has received more than one radio obituary, and probably not the last. Marin died in his sleep while he was in hospice care in San Diego on May 24th, according to his nephew, Lloyd Decker of San Diego. The actor died of cardiopulmonary failure, said a spokesperson at the San Diego Medical Examiner's Office. Marin was the munchkin who handed Judy Garland's Dorothy a lollipop in the 1939 classic. And in this redo, fitting for doubling up on Chris, he's the anti-penultimate radio obituary.
When are you gonna come down? When are you going to land? I should have stayed on the farm. I should have listened to my old man. You know you can't help me forever. I didn't sign up with you. Present for your friends to open. This boy's too young to be singing.
Some sad news from Hollywood.
Jerry Marin was the last living member of one of the most memorable collections of actors in movie history. Marin was the leader of the Lollipop Guild in the 1939 classic The Wizard of Oz.
Here with some news on the story, a top comedian and my friend, Brad Williams.
What the f***, Jim?
Hello, Brad. Thanks for being on my show.
I thought I was here to discuss the New York Attorney General's lawsuit against the Trump Foundation. You said you wanted me to talk politics.
And current events.
Come on, Jim. You want to do this because dwarves are funny and I'm your go-to little person.
No, I know loads of little people and many of them are my friends.
Like who?
You? And Vern Troyer was on my sitcom.
Yeah, he's dead, Jim.
Do you want to talk about that?
No! I want to talk about the Trump Foundation.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
After a 2-year investigation, the New York State Attorney General filed suit against the... Jim. Seriously? The yellow brick road?
No. I'm sorry, Brad. We already had that in the monitor. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you by comparing you to a member of the Lollipop Gang.
Guild.
Sorry?
The Lollipop Guild, not gang. And he wasn't a member. Jerry Marin was the leader of the Lollipop Guild. An elite, highly respected subset of munchkins. Most munchkins would have just killed to be considered for a membership. Jerry Marin was a giant amongst little people. And now he's gone.
Hey. Doug, now's not the time.
I'll take it.
Thank you, Brad. That's our show.
Our penultimate radio obituary is for Glenn Branca, who died on May 13th, 2018. He was an American avant-garde composer and guitarist known for his use of volume, alternative guitar tunings, repetition, droning, and the harmonic series. Branca received the 2009 Foundation for Contemporary Arts Grants and Artist Award. Born in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania in 1948, Branca started playing the guitar at age 15. He also created a number of tape sound art collage pieces for his own amusement, something I can relate to. After attending York College in 1966 and 67, he started a short-lived cover band, The Crystal Ship, in the summer of 1967. In the early 1970s, Branca studied theater at Emerson College in Boston. He began experimenting with sound as the founder of the experimental theater group called Bastard Theater in 1975. Working out of a loft on Massachusetts Avenue along with John Roerberger, they wrote and produced the music theater piece Anthropophagy for a 2-week run. In 1976, the Bastard Theater's second production was What Actually Happened at a new loft in Central Square, Cambridge, and later the Boston Arts Group. Considering the unconventional and sometimes confrontational nature of the productions, the show still received interested reviews from the Boston Phoenix and the Boston Globe. All music for Bastard Theater productions were original compositions by Branca and Roerberger and were performed live by the actors and musicians. Later, he moved to New York and began composing symphonies for orchestra and electric guitars and percussion, which blended droning, industrial cacophony, and microtonality with quasi-mysticism and advanced mathematics. Branca was initially influenced by the writings of Dan Rudiar, Hermann von Helmholtz, and Harry Potch. To further develop his compositions based on the harmonic series, Branca built several electronically amplified instruments of his own invention, expanding beyond the guitar. Glenn Branca, our penultimate radio obituary. I remember seeing one of his performances at the New England Conservatory in the early 80s. Cacophony is a good word to describe it. Thank you. according to that digital clock on the wall here at WMFO, it is 12:59, and you are in tune to your freeform radio station. This is WMFO in Medford. It's close enough to a legal ID. So now it is time for our ultimate radio obituary, and it is for Hanabiko Koko. She was a female Western lowland gorilla who was known for having learned a large number of hand signs and a modified version of American Sign Language. Her instructor and caregiver, animal psychologist Francine Penny Patterson, reported that